says, now by this, people are going to know that you are mine, that I'm in you, that Christ is living on you, in you, not because you can talk in tongues. Oh, Bobo. See that? Y'all know this Jesus. He said, not because, watch this, you got a collar around your neck, you see, or badge, or because you led prayer or preached the word. He says, the qualifications of being my disciples, everybody's going to be able to know it how? By the love that you show one for another. Now, that's very important because thank you, Alandra. That's very important because, my brothers and sisters, what happens is this word that Jesus is using here in verse number 34 entitled love has been watered down because we really don't know what he was saying when he said love here. He says, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another. What are you talking about? Because there's several definitions in the Bible for love. What kind of love is Jesus talking about? Write this down now, because all of us, we vacillate through these different areas of love. So when we come to church and we talk about love your neighbor, love your enemies, are you telling me to love my neighbor and my enemies the same way? What are you talking about, Jesus? And so the first definition of love that's given in the Bible is a Greek word called eros, E-R-O-S, eros. This is where we get the word erotic, you know, and this is a sensual or sexual type of love based on affection, based on how you feel. Y'all understand what I'm saying there? Eros. That means it's based on my attractions, how I feel about you, how you look. It's a sensual type of thing. It's erotic. It's love based on affection. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. The second definition or translation for the word love is the love phileo. P-H-I-L-O. Phileo. This is friendship. This is where we get the word Philadelphia, which is the city of what? Brotherly love. You see that? This is a brotherly love. This is like a familiar love, the love that I have for my biological sisters, the love that you may have for your brother, and so forth. That's a friendship, a bond, okay? A bond. It's phileo, but that's not what Jesus was talking about. Thirdly, is another type of love called storage, S-T-O-R-G-E, storage. This is the love of things. How many of y'all got love for some things? Amen. Yeah, love for things. And that ain't bad. That ain't bad as long as it's in the proper context. Stores, the love of things. The love of things. I like nice clothes. I like nice cars. I like nice this and nice that. Materialism, okay? And so some people can love you because you can give them things. So you always have to make sure that the love is in the right place. But the type of love that Jesus is talking about and the type of love that we're talking about in this particular class is called agape love. Everybody heard that before. Everybody say agape. Say it again. Agape. A-G-A-P-E. It's an unbreakable, undeserving. This is the type of love Jesus is talking about. An unceasing and unconditional love that will not be changed by circumstances. Boy, that's powerful. That you didn't get that. I'm gonna let you write it. I know you're writing and can't think and write at the same time. So that's an unbreakable and undeserving. Think about Jesus now. An unceasing is constant. Unconditional is not based on if and then. See, it's a love that will not be changed by circumstances. I won't just have a fair weather love. But my love is going to be there through every season. That's the type of love that Jesus is talking about. It's undeserving. That sometimes the love that I'm talking about here, you don't even deserve this type of love. Jesus says, but I'm going to give you this type of love anyway. See, while we were yet sinners, Christ came and he died for us. He gave himself for us. Watch this. He says, and this is the type of love that I want you to love other people with. And I hear what you're saying already. I'm going to need some help with that, Pastor. Because in order for me to love them unconditionally, unceasingly, you know, being constant, you know, I'm going to need some help. And I understand because your flesh don't like agape. Your flesh don't like that. Your flesh like phileo. Your flesh like storage. Your flesh like eros. But your flesh can't get with agape because agape is birthed out of your spirit. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? That the only way you can demonstrate this type of love is it has to be a growth in your spirit to deal with people that are difficult, to deal with love on this area, to be in a position that when somebody don't treat you right, for you to still treat them right. See, that has to be birthed out of your spirit. And the Lord is saying we have to grow up to the point to where we can love like Jesus loved, okay? That we can begin to see some growth in our love. How many of you in this room say, I can see some growth in my love since I've been walking with Jesus, since I've been really serious with Jesus? And God knows that. He's a God of gradualism. He understands that just because you get saved today and you start walking with him for 15 months, that you're not going to have the capacity to just love everybody. But his desire is that you would increase in your love. Let me show you this. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians, Arian, you're my mic runner today. Chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Get that. That's in the New Testament. And I want somebody else, I want you to read this. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. When you have it, raise your hand if you want to read. Amen. Don't make me call on you. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Come on, all these college students I got, y'all scared to read? Amen. Where y'all graduated from? Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, okay? Who got it? Who want to read? All right? All right, there we go. Got a hand over here. Hustle up. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I want you to see this. God wants us, watch this, to grow in our love. You have New King James Version, sister? I just have. Okay. Can you see the screens? You can read from the screens? Uh-huh.
1 Thessalonians 4:9.
Yeah.
But concerning brotherly love,
uh-huh.
Love you have not need.
Yeah.
That I should write to you,
uh-huh.
For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another.
You already know to love one another. Yeah. That, you see what he's saying? Y'all already taught. Everybody taught. You went to your first Sunday school class. They told you what? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yeah, you taught all of that. Amen. You were taught all of that. But watch what he says in the next verse. He says, because I don't want you to stay at that child level of love. Watch what he says in the next verse. Ready, read.
1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, verse 10.
Uh-huh.
And indeed you do so towards all the brethren who are in all Macedonia.
You do it to everybody at Beacon Light. He says, you know about love and you've been loving people who are in your group. Yeah, who think like you, who act like you, who look like you, who dress like you. You've been loving people in Macedonia. But look what he urges us to do. Read.
But we urge you, brethren, uh-huh. That you increase more
that
and
you
more.
Increase more and more in the sphere of your love. Do you see that? Are you seeing that? He says, watch this. It's my plan for you, my desire for you, that as you walk in God, that you begin to increase more and more in the people that you can love. Don't just love people that's in Macedonia. He says, but you got to let your love go beyond the borders of Macedonia and begin to love those who are not even of the faith. Come on, bring that down to where you can reach it. You can't just love people that's in your clique, that's in your group, that those who say amen when you say something and those who cheerlead when you say something. He says, but you got to love people that disagree with you. You got to love people that don't see it your way. You got to love them that way. And we can't become so close-minded that the only people I can show love to is those who are always clapping their hands when I walk in the room. Those that are always patting their hands on the back. Those who always I always see eye to eye with. He says, no, you got to increase more and more. You got to love them. You got to love them. You got to love them on your job. You got to love them in your house. Mm-hmm. You got to love them in the church that don't sit in the section you sit in. You got to love them that don't see things, don't have the same philosophy or values in life. You got to begin to love them. Why? Because Christ, he showed this same love. And Jesus says, this is the new commandment that I give you, that you love one another. Then he qualified it, even as I have loved you. Now that's so important because we have to understand what Jesus had to put up with when he loved us. Are you understanding? Let me give you, for these few moments we have left in the class today, let me give you some ways you can love them. Look at your neighbor and say, you know them, huh? You know them. Y'all know them, huh? Yeah. Watch this. And you know what? I think God has us in this series on relationships, living the right life as it relates to relationships, because we have to learn how to treat one another. Yeah. See that? You have to. I'm not just talking about in church. Husbands got to learn how to treat their wives. Wives got to learn how to treat their husbands. Parents got to learn how to love their children. Children got to learn how to be loving to their parents. We got to learn how to love people on our job. Because Jesus says, if you miss this love thing, man, you misrepresenting me. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you misrepresenting me for you to wear the cross around your neck, to tell people you go to Beacon Life, you're a Christian, you're doing this, but your love is so small. Your circle of love is so small. The first way that we can love them is, number one, to have love for our Savior. Now, that doesn't look like much. The way we love others is to have appreciation for Jesus Christ. See, the way this love thing gets started is it gets started with Jesus, having love for Jesus. Because when we have a casual view of Calvary, and over the next few weeks, y'all going to see it's going to be all on TV. People going to be talking about it because this is the season for it. But Calvary is not about a season. See, Calvary is about a sacrifice that was made so that we can live a life. You see that? So we have to have an appreciation for what happened on Calvary, for what Jesus did for each and every one of us. Because if you don't have the proper relationship to Jesus, you can never have the proper relationship to other people. You understand that? See, if you don't understand the love that Jesus showed to you, then you will never ever have the capacity to show that type of love to other people. For how can I love you the way Jesus loved me if I don't really know what Jesus had to go through when he loved me? And so when I don't understand Jesus' love and the Holy Ghost is not reminding me about that love on a daily basis, it's hard for me to forgive now. See that? It's hard for me now to be patient with you. It's hard for me to be meek and understanding. It's hard to have the fruit of something that I don't have the root to. See that? And so when your ability to love somebody is not there, you always have to trace it back to your connection with Jesus Christ. Because as, like Paul was saying, y'all done well. Watch this, y'all done well. You love everybody in Macedonia. He says, but I want you to increase. And the way you increase is increasing in your walk with God. Because when I increase in my walk with God, I can increase in the love that I show to other people. You have to have a healthy love for the Savior. And when we have a healthy love for the Savior, hallelujah, then we know how to treat other people. See, my concern is that we are producing at an alarming rate Christians who cannot love at all because they miss first base. They miss the first base. And the first base is have an appreciation of Jesus Christ. We just sung it in play just a second ago. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. See that? See, and our grandfathers and our grandmothers, they had an appreciation for Calvary. They used to walk around reminding themselves, I'm going to treat everybody right until I die. Why? Because they had an appreciation for what Jesus did for them. Let me show you this. Go with me in scripture now to, to 1 John 3. 1 John 3, not St. John. 1 John chapter number 3. You have to have a love for the Savior. You got to love you some Jesus. See, you have to really have an appreciation of what God did when he gave us Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Watch this. He says, you got 1 John 3:16? Say, I got it. Watch this. He says, by this we know love, Because what? He laid down his life for who? For us. Somebody say for me.
For me.
Yes. See, he says by this, this is how we even know love. That Jesus laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for what? For brothers. Does that mean I gotta die? No, 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 no. That means sometimes you might have to lay down your pride. See, sometimes, watch this, you might have to suck it up and forgive. See, sometimes I may have to, you know what, be a little patient with you because Jesus laid down his life for me. And Jesus is not asking any of us to get back on the cross and die. All he's asking to is to die to yourself so that he can live through us. He says, by this we know love because Jesus laid down his life for us. And we also, we ought to lay down our lives for other people. Hallelujah. Go flip over one chapter. Go to 1 John 4:19. 1 John 4:19. Hallelujah. This is where we get that song from. Look what it says. It says, we love him. Why? Because he first showed love to us. Now watch this. Jesus came and died for you over 2,000 years ago before you even got on the scene. And then you live, most of us, 15, 20, 25, 30, 30 years, just watch this, just doing whatever we wanted, but Jesus had already made a sacrifice for us. Jesus didn't kick us to the curb, and even once we got saved, he didn't tell us, you ain't acting right fast enough, so you ain't a part of me. No, he was patient with us. He was working on us. He was giving us mercy. He was giving us grace. And see, when we understand, watch this, this principle of mercy and grace and love and patience that Jesus showed with us, you know what? It helps me now to love you.
Hallelujah.
But if we don't have a love for the Savior, if we don't have an understanding of what Jesus did for us, we can never, ever love other people like God wants us to love. Because it's not something that is birthed out of our flesh. It's not eros. It's not phileo. It's agape. It's agape love. Hallelujah. Number two. How do I grow in this love? I struggle in this area, Pastor. How do I love people? You know, because you can't say love without talking about forgiveness. You can't say love without talking about patience. How many of you have children in this room? Let me see your hand. How many of you love your child? Let me see your hand. You love them. How many of you got to be patient with them, though? See, that's how I know you love them, because you're patient with them. You're patient with them. You're long-suffering with them. I mean, you might tell them you're going to punch them in the throat, but you ain't going to really do that. You're patient with them because you love them. And see, God is saying that's how I am with you, but that's how I want you to be to other people. He says, because when you show that type of love, then people know you're my disciple. You're my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. Number one, we grow in this type of love when we have a love for Jesus. Secondly, we grow in this type of love when we have a love for the scripture. See, because faith, which is what it takes in Jesus to love other people, it comes by what? By hearing. And hearing what? Everybody say faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. See, so I can't just say I love Jesus, but I don't want to read this book, which is a love story about Jesus. See, I can't say I love Jesus, but I want to detach myself from his word, because I'll never live the right life if I don't get this word down on the inside of me. I'm talking about the spirit of this word has to be impressed upon my heart, where I know that I know that I know that I know this word lives. And then I can start living out this word once I have a love for the word that's on the inside of me. Let me go. My time is escaping me. Go with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Go there very quickly. Psalm 119. You got to love the word of God. You got to love the word of God. You got to love.